Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm your host, Tyler Waugh. When you think about young adulthood, perhaps the most prevalent word that comes to mind is change. Whether it's moving to a new city, meeting new people, or getting married, change seems to be all around us as young adults. My guest today is no stranger to these changes. Zachary Waugh is the youth minister at the Faith Village Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Today on the show, we talk about navigating changes in our young adult years, what makes change so difficult, how change can impact our spiritual lives, and some practical ways we can grow through change. Buckle up, everybody. This is Road Trips. Welcome to the show.
Tyler, it's an honor to be on your show. I've enjoyed the first two episodes in your new show, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Hey, me too. I forgot to add this at the beginning, but you're also my brother. You may have forgotten, but yeah, you are.
That's important.
It is important. It is important. So you've been through... you've been through many changes over the last 6 years, and I've gotten to... see that. It's been pretty fun. And I'm sure it's changed everything about you. You've moved to a new city, bought a house, got married, had two kids. How have these changes impacted your relationship with God?
Yeah, you're right. My life has changed in almost every way. In fact, there's almost nothing, when I look back 6 years ago of where my life was, there's almost nothing that has remained the same. The only thing I could think of that's the same from 6 years ago was the car that I drive, a 30-year-old car. It's still running. But the change in my life, it also goes beyond my personal life as well. So as you just mentioned, yes, I've done all those things, bought a house, got married, have two kids now. But in my ministry, life has changed a lot as well. So when I began youth ministry 6 years ago at this one church at Faith Village, until now, we have installed three new elders. One elder has passed away. Another elder resigned. We moved on from one preacher and hired another. We had a pandemic. And just in my youth ministry, I have just one more month with the students who were seventh graders when I arrived, and then the entire youth group will look different than it did when I arrived here 6 years ago. So you're right, that's lots of change for sure. So when I think about all those different things that have happened and how that has impacted my relationship with God, I cannot help but see growth. Growth that I'm, quite frankly, I'm not sure would have been there if such change had not occurred. So in my life, I can't speak for everyone in change, but in my life, the change has really propelled my faith. And I feel that because God has been the constant in my rapidly changing life. And that's been such a blessing to be reminded of. There's the verse in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's such an encouragement to me in this season of change, to know that God doesn't change even when I go through change. And that has helped me tremendously. So I give you an example. When I moved to Wichita Falls and began working at Faith Village, I didn't know many people. Yes, I knew a few of the students in the youth group because we had done camp together. I knew a few of the youth group parents just because of camp and other youth events, but I had no clue who my coworkers were. I didn't have a clue who the elders were. I didn't have a clue who most of the members were. I didn't know those people. And then I was going to live completely independently for the first time in my life. And that was a big transition period. So I really had to rely on God more than ever. And I kept reassuring myself, knowing that God never changes. I knew that I could talk to him. I knew that I had his word to guide me. I knew that God was with me, and he was the same God that had always been there and had always been there to guide me as well. So those changes in my life really strengthened my faith, I think, because for the first time in my life, I couldn't rely on others or just myself to get me through. So it reminded me of the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7. And if you remember, I'll just summarize that real quick. The Midianites are oppressing Israel, and the Israelites call out to God. God delivers, raises up a judge, Gideon. Gideon's going to be the guy to defeat the Midianites. So he gathers 32,000 soldiers, and he's going to go and attack Midian. But God says in chapter 7, he tells Gideon, he says, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me and say, 'My own strength has saved me.'" So eventually, if you remember this, the army is shrunk to 300 men, and they go and defeat Midian, and God is glorified. So I think sometimes it takes us being on our own, or at the very least without much support around us, in order to realize how much we need God. And the change in my life over the past 6 years has really taught me that, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, so you began to rely and to trust on God because moving to a new city, starting a new job, that kind of forced you to do that. But you mentioned something earlier in your answer about change causing growth. And I just want to ask you, is that, do you think that's something that is forced, or do you think you choose to grow from change?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you choose to grow from change because I think, if we're honest, change can take you in two different directions. I think on the one hand, it can force you to rely upon God and really strengthen your faith because you need a constant in your life. You need a presence that is not changing. You need God in your life. But on the other hand, if the change works out in your favor, or if something goes really smooth, you can also be tempted to think, you know, that was all me. I decided I wanted to change. Look at what it has gotten me. Look, I made this change. I got to this new position. I'm making this much more money. Life is just really going my way. Look at what I did. Why do I need God? So I think it could go one of two directions. But I think we have to understand is that God is at work in our lives, period. Either direction we take, and we need to worship him and serve him and trust him, even in the bad times and also the good times for sure.
So some of the changes that you've made in your life have been choices that you've made. You've chosen to make changes in your life. Some of the changes haven't been. They've just kind of happened, and they've just kind of been circumstance. And I think change, when it's our choice, it's something that we may like the idea of, but we don't like actually doing it, if that makes sense. What do you think it is that makes change so difficult, especially as young adult Christians?
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes change is forced on us, and it's not something we want to have happen. But why is change hard? I think it's hard for a few reasons. One, almost any time you change, you have to learn something new. So, for instance, if you get a new job, you have to be trained on how to do it. You got to learn your coworkers and how they operate and how they work and how you can all work together. If you move, you have to learn who services the area, who are reliable people who can come and help you if something breaks down in your new place, who are your neighbors. I'll tell a story. I remember about 5 years ago, our church offices, we got a new phone system. The old one we had was very dated, and the new phones brought us a lot of new features that we use and love at this point. But when the new phones were first installed, some people wondered why we needed them. And they liked the old ones because they knew how to use them. They were familiar with them. But after a week or two with the new phone system, you couldn't have paid them to go back to the old. So I think change is hard because you're dealing with something new or different, and you have to learn how it works. You're always having to learn. And if you don't want to learn, if you don't desire to figure something else out, then change is always going to be difficult. I think another reason change is hard is because you cannot see the future and you have no idea how the change is going to go. So going back to the illustration of a new job, so even if you did a lot of research, you asked all the employees how they liked it, you talked to the boss and you formed a relationship with the boss, even if you did your due diligence in learning all you can about that company or about that place that you are interviewing to go to, and they all say that they love it, the question is still at the back of your mind. Okay, that's their experience. What am I going to think about it? Is that going to be my experience? Am I going to fit into that place? Because their experience may not be your experience. And that scares us, and it makes change more difficult because we can't see the future. It's something unknown, right? So it's scary. And then the final reason I'll give regarding this, especially as it relates to, as this podcast is for young adult Christians, the final reason I'll give why change is hard is because you are in a season of life where so many things are changing around you in a short amount of time. So perhaps in another season of life, one change that you're going through right now wouldn't be that big of a deal. But when you combine the change you're going through now on top of the 5 or 6 other changes in your life that are going on at the same moment, it becomes a really, really big deal. So for young adults, just think about everything that is changing in your world. Like, so many things are changing. Perhaps right after high school, and I don't know, Tyler, what you would define young adults, but in my mind, I'm thinking 18 to 30 years old, somewhere in there. So 18 to 30 years old, think about everything that happens during that time frame. So most people, or some people, go to college. Some people go straight into a career or go to a trade school or something like that. And then eventually you leave that place. You graduate. Graduating means you're finally independent. You got to find a job. You got to find a place to live. And for many people, that means even finding a new church family, which is a big change. Maybe you get married. Maybe you start your own family. All of those changes occurring at once, as it often is for young adults, when that happens, change becomes really, really hard. Even if other people look at you and say, yeah, you're just getting a new job, what's the big deal? But they don't put into account, yeah, you are getting a new job, but you also just had a kid. And this is a new town that you've only lived in for a year. You don't know people that well. And you just started at this new church family. Like, all those things combined makes change really, really difficult.
So I'm sure throughout your changes that you've made in your life, there were some of those things that you were talking about that make change so difficult. Maybe some things that you did or some things that maybe you wish you did that could help you work through that fear of change. What are some ways we can work through our fear of change?
Yeah, I want to go back to what I started with. To first and foremost, rely upon God for your main source of strength. But also something you asked specifically, what I would change if I went back, change, pun intended, I guess, what I would change if I went back and did it all over again, I would have relied upon others more. Because I think the reality is that there's so many people around us that have gone through the exact same things that we are going through. Being a young adult is not new. And as Solomon says over and over in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. So there's people who have gone through similar things, if not the exact same thing. And I wish in my life that I would have relied upon those people a little bit more to help me, to guide me through what change really can look like and how to navigate that a little bit better. I had friends that were in the same position that I was, that were graduating, and even friends that were specifically going into youth ministry. I wish that I would have reached out to them and just ask how they were navigating that change. So use the people around you, other young adults who have recently gone through change, but also older people who had once upon a time gone through the same things that you were going through. And they can help you when you're scared of the upcoming change in your life. And I think you would be wise to listen to them. But don't forget, God's got to come first, even in the change in your life. He's got to be your main source of strength, because sometimes you have to filter what other people say to you as much as you wish everything that was said to you was going to be wise and beneficial for your lives. It probably isn't going to be, even if it's very well intentioned. So you got to use God as your main source. Turn to His Word. Turn to the wisdom of the Bible. You think of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. You think of those two books specifically. You think of James and just the wisdom that they provide. Turn to those as your source of strength and use others when it's appropriate.
Yeah, and I kind of want to build on that. Based on your experiences, because maybe some people might be listening to this and think, well, I was thinking about making a change. Now I'm kind of scared. And I don't want to discourage change necessarily when we need to make it, but we want to make sure that we're making the right changes and we're doing it at the right time. I remember thinking about transferring from the school I was at my freshman year to another one and thinking, well, should I wait a year? Should I wait another semester? When should this change happen? How exactly should I go about making the change? What are some things you do? What are some ways we can discern when exactly the right time is to make a change? And how do you determine that right timing of change?
Yeah, that's such a good question, but it's also a very difficult question. And I'll just go back to what you said a few moments ago, because it would be really nice if you always got to determine when you make a change. But the reality is that it's not always that way. Often there is not a right time to make a change. So a few examples, perhaps one day your boss comes in and says, we have to lay off a few people because of budget reasons, and you're one of them. But you didn't decide to change. You didn't even want to change, but you're forced to make a change. Or you think of someone who goes to the doctor for their yearly checkup, and in that checkup, they find out they're diabetic, and their diet and their lifestyle is going to have to change drastically. A change often isn't planned. It's a reaction to what has happened to us. But in an ideal world, we would get to determine when to change. And there's certainly, I hope and pray, there certainly for everyone listening, will be times in your life when you get to decide how, why, and when you want to change. And really, instead of being reactive, be proactive about it. So how do you determine when a good time is to make a change? I really think, I thought hard about this question because I found it quite challenging. But I think the answer to that question is really specific to each situation. So I do want to give you a few things to consider, though. If you're thinking, okay, is this the right time? Should I make a change here or should I stay put? Should I change this relationship or should I stick with where I am? I want to, for the people who are considering those sorts of questions, perhaps these few points will help. If you're in any situation where your morals are being compromised, I believe that change is needed immediately. So this could be within a relationship, within a job, or even within a church, although I hope this is never the case. Like if you're having to do things or are asked to do things that are not in alignment with God's word, then I believe change is needed. And that's a clear answer. Like perhaps you're at a job and your boss is wanting you to lie about something in order for the numbers to look better at the end of the quarter. Like that's a pretty easy answer. Or a relationship where your boyfriend or girlfriend is encouraging you and pressuring you to participate in activities that you shouldn't be participating in. That should be an easy answer to make a change. But sometimes I think change is difficult because both options are good, and you're trying to determine between a really good option and a really, really good option. And I'm not sure if there is a correct answer to every sort of change in your life. But I would also add that change can be good when you feel stuck. When you feel stuck. When you feel as if you're not growing or you're not going anywhere. And I believe that this concept can be applied to many different areas of your life. Because I think for a Christian, we should always be striving to grow in our relationship with God, in our knowledge of God, in our love for each other. And if we're at a situation in our lives where we feel like because of the situation we're in, again, if that's a relationship, a church, a job, a school, whatever, if you feel as if you're not growing as the person that God is wanting you to be, then I think a change is needed. So hopefully in some ways that answered your question. Again, it's difficult because so many times change is not something that we chose to do. It's just a reaction to what is being forced upon us.
Yeah, and you're also saying that each situation of change is different. And the reason that you may need to make a change isn't the reason that I need to make a change. And so I really like that. And I think those three things that you brought up are really helpful. How have you seen in the changes that you've made God, you've kind of mentioned this, you've kind of hit on it a little bit. How have you seen God work through change?
Yeah, it's been amazing to see this in so many ways. I'll just share a quick story. So after my wife, Taylor, and I had our first child, Cameron, we were pretty naive about how much a newborn is going to cost. Like, that's just something we were always told, you know, having a kid's expensive, but we're like, you know, whatever, we'll make it work. Not just the diapers, the food, the clothes, but also you got a pretty large hospital bill as well. So a few months after he is born, this is shortly before Christmas, we got our hospital bill and we didn't realize it was going to be that much. And it kind of took us back. We were like, okay, how are we going to make this work? Because my wife was not going to be working. So we were relying upon one income. How were we going to make this huge bill work? So we were going to start a payment plan with the hospital. And you can just do the minimum. I think it's $50 a month is what you're required to pay if you can't pay it all. So we were about to set that up through the hospital. And then one random day, we're told that a few families within our church, families who have to this day remained anonymous, got together and they wanted to give us a financial gift. And let's just say it was enough to pay for the full bill and then some as well. Like, that was such a blessing. Our lives had just changed in a huge way. We added one more person to our family. But we saw God at work through that change via other people. And that's just one example in the past 6 years that I could give you. So many times a change is occurring and we may not see God at work directly through us or through something that happens just one-on-one with us and God, maybe an answered prayer or just growing in your own faith, but you see it through God sending other people your way to minister to you in the time of change. And what's awesome about God, and sometimes I think I forget this, and maybe others do as well, is that God works and is working through people all around the world. And sometimes we think, okay, yeah, God's working through our church, or God's working through this city or this state. But God's working through people all around the world. So when a change occurs in your life, look for ways in which God perhaps was moving through other people or through the change itself. And maybe it's not that clear. So maybe you find yourself in a situation where it's similar to the book of Esther, where God is not mentioned, but you can't help but read the story and that see the hundreds, thousands of ways God was at work behind the scenes. And then when you take a moment to look at the entire story or the entire change one day, and you gain a little bit of perspective and you're able to look back on what happened during that change, you see that God was working in your life in major ways. Sometimes it's very clear, as in that story I told you, it's very clear, like God was working, like he was caring for us. It was very visible. But I think sometimes it's not as visible in the moment, and it takes months, perhaps years later, to realize, wow, you know what? God was really, really working through this moment, through that change. And it's really, really cool to see.
That's awesome. And, you know, that kind of makes me go back to what we were talking about at the beginning. What you were mentioning about God working through change and the examples that you gave, how important is it, just to kind of follow up on that, how important is it to actually be looking for God after or during the change? Because you can go through change and just say, okay, well, that just happened. That was just people. Or you can choose to say, that was a God thing. That was God at work. So how important is reflection, perspective, hindsight, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to looking at God's blessings after the change has been made?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's very important, but I think it's very important in all aspects of our life, not just when we talk about change. So you and I have both done this on mission trips or other church-related activities. Maybe it's church camp or retreats. And you close the day and you're sitting around a group with your students or with other people your age, and you ask the question, in what ways did you see God at work today? And that's just so beneficial, and it changes our perspective each day. So instead of just specializing in talking about seeing God at work through change, what if we did that every day of our lives? Or it's just our normal everyday lives, and we saw God at work through the ordinary day, perhaps in a random act of kindness, or in a kind word, or an encouraging text that got sent to you just out of the blue. Like, what if we saw God at work every day? I think it's so important because it helps us realize that God is still active. Like, sometimes we read the Old Testament, we're just like, man, I wish he had the direct relationship with his people, with Christians, as he did with Israel. But God is still active in our lives today. And sometimes we're just so blinded to see it. And if we would just pray that God would open our eyes to ways in which he is at work in this world today, I think we'd be amazed at how often things happen just in our everyday lives that are straight from God. And when we would realize that, I think it helps us because it gives us the right perspective of who to thank, who to be grateful for, who is providing the blessings in our lives, instead of thinking, okay, you know, that was just random. That was just something I did. I created that. That's something that happened because of this action or this plan that I took. Instead, we would see it as, okay, this is God. This is God using other people or using me for his purposes.
Yeah, and I want to follow up on that for last question for you. How can we grow spiritually through change?
So I want to turn to scripture for this answer. And I'm going to read a little bit from Daniel chapter 1. And I don't want to compare myself to Daniel in any way. Daniel's one of the few people in scripture where there's no flaws listed about him. So I'm not trying to compare myself to him. But I do think in relationship or in regard to change that we're talking about, he's such an important figure to consider. So it starts in verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. And of course, we know who was there. Verse 6, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Of course, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you think about the change that occurred in such a short amount of time in Daniel's life. Okay, so Daniel grew up in the tribe of Judah. He's there and he's at Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys the temple, right? Destroys the city and takes all of those people into captivity in Babylon. And once they get to Babylon, this is an entirely new culture. It's not as if we were taken, you know, from Texas or Oklahoma to New York City and placed in the middle of the city. No, this is like being taken to another planet. This would have been so radically different than anything that Daniel was familiar with. They had to try to teach him the new language and the literature of the Babylonians. They were trying to essentially strip away their identity as Israelites, as Jews, who were God's chosen people, and they were trying to make them into new people. And if you remember the story of Daniel, you just remember time after time, despite the king trying to strip away the identity of who Daniel was, Daniel remained faithful to the one constant in his life. He remained faithful to God. Like, God never changed. That very God that he worshiped at the temple in Jerusalem when he was younger was the same God at work, even though he was in this foreign pagan culture of Babylon. And despite having statues and being forced to bow down to them, like, he still worshiped God. He served God wherever he went, no matter what others told him to do. So I think when we consider that question, how can we grow spiritually through change? Consider that example of Daniel. Consider the fact that no matter where you are, God still wants your heart above all else. God's word is true no matter where you find yourself, no matter what change you're going through. He wants you to remain faithful to him. He wants you to go and spread the message of Christ with this world. And perhaps that's one of the biggest blessings of change, is that you now have a new mission field that's right around you. Like, you now have a new audience to share the gospel with. Daniel was able to make a huge difference on many of the people that he dealt with in Babylon. And I think you and I can make a huge difference as well if we allow God to grow us spiritually through that change. Hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, when it seems like everything else is changing, all of my external circumstances, the new city, the new job, everything around me seems to be changing, but God never does, and his word never does. And I think that's a good place to end it there. Zachary, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I would have loved to have told the story about the change you made from being single to married, and kind of how that came about and the role that I played in that. But hey, maybe next time.
Maybe next time. That's a good story, though. thanks for having me. I enjoyed this conversation. Pray for this podcast, and just wish you the best in this new series that you started.
All right. We will see you down the road, everyone. Thank you for listening to Road Trips.